Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week we'll be talking about learning and teaching ensemble music in large groups. That may present particular challenges to people who are visually impaired, but we'll talk about how it can be done and how you can overcome some of these challenges.
Blind since birth, Alex Krauth teaches music in a studio, sings in a chorus, and is making plans to start her own women's choir, which she plans to direct. We'll talk with her about Braille music, how she shares written music with others, and also about one of her fun hobbies, surfing. And then towards the end of the show, we'll be talking about technologies that you can use for reading, writing, or learning music without having to see the printed music. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is, if you want to learn Braille music, here are some great resources. And of course, the first place we always start is Wikipedia.
Wikipedia actually has some great entries on Braille music in terms of telling you how different it is than regular Braille. As you can imagine, Braille music has to be written on one or two lines as opposed to the usual staff that sighted people use. So it's kind of interesting to know how they do that. In that Wikipedia article, then, we can read a little bit about how Braille music is set up and some resources of where to obtain Braille music.
And we'll be describing it in a little bit more detail in the focus topic. Some of the particular resources that they give are from the National Braille Press and the Royal National Institute for the Blind. And those links are fairly long, but we will have those in the show notes associated with this show on our website at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
On both of those websites, you'll see resources for both learning Braille music if you don't know it, and also lots of resources on where to obtain Braille music if you already know it and need to use it.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Alex Krauth.
Can you start by introducing yourself to our listeners?
Absolutely. My name is Alex Krauth. I'm 22 years old, and I live in Elliott, Maine, and I just graduated from Keene State College in New Hampshire, where I studied music. I received a BA in music with a specialization in music for elementary teachers, and I recently just started my own music studio called the Krauth Music Studio, and I teach private piano, voice, music theory, or ear training lessons. And in addition to that, I am also going to be starting a new job as a choral director at Brixham Montessori Friends School in York, Maine. It's a private Montessori school, and I'm going to be teaching chorus to the third through fifth graders there. And this is actually going to be the first time that the school has ever had a choral program.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and that you're into a lot of different aspects of music.
So I know you're blind. Can you describe the cause and nature of your blindness?
Yes, I was actually born completely blind. I was born 3 months early. I developed ROP, retinopathy of prematurity. It's a disease where the retinas are detached, and so therefore messages don't get sent to the brain via the optic nerve. That happened actually as a result of being born 3 months early. When I was born, I only weighed like 1 pound, 11 ounces.
Sounds like you're lucky to be alive.
Absolutely.
So I take it you learned Braille and mobility skills as a youngster.
Yes.
Did you go for a school for the blind, or were you mainstreamed?
I actually went to public school. I temporarily went to Perkins School for the Blind down in the Boston area for a very short time, just when I was in the infant toddler program, just because my parents were looking into services for me as a blind student and to see if Maine offered anything because they never thought they would see the day when their child would be blind. So they contacted Perkins and they sent me down there to go to the infant toddler program, and they just learned about how to support me and some services to provide for me and everything just through Perkins. And then after that, they felt a lot better and they realized that I would probably be able to do fine in public school. And I did.
Well, that's great. I think having supportive parents who are able to find the resources that a child needs is very important.
Absolutely.
Perkins is very well known for providing training to the blind individuals, but it's nice to know that they also have programs for parents of blind children, because when a kid's that young, it's the parents who really need the education about how to deal with the blindness.
Of course.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is learning music, participating in, and leading a choral ensemble.
And don't forget surfing. When did you first develop your interest in music? How did that come about?
My mom and dad would always play a lot of music around the house ever since I was born. I don't mean literally play. I just mean that they would put on lots of CDs of various kinds of music that they liked, like classical and jazz standards like Louis Armstrong and all those people. And they're very big music appreciators. So being the curious person that I was, I just listened to all the different music that was playing and I really got into it. And so they noticed that I was really attracted to it. My parents did. And so they got me one of those little baby keyboards, I think probably when I was like 2 or 3. And I just started like plunking out little melodies on it that I heard. And I really had fun with it. So when I was 3 years old, I started piano lessons.
So have you always learned music by ear, or did you learn Braille music or what?
Actually, I learn via both. I can learn by ear, but I also read Braille music as well. And what's interesting is that this vision teacher that I worked with when I first went to the infant toddler program at Perkins, she's actually also kind of been a lifelong friend of the family. And she's also a very avid musician and singer who has perfect pitch. And when I got to first grade, I started with this other teacher who I had all the way up through my senior year of high school. And this vision teacher from Perkins really stressed that I learn to read Braille music, because I think it is very important for blind musicians to know how to read Braille music, because that's the equivalent of a sighted musician having a great ear but not knowing how to sight read. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I think it's important to be able to read music as a musician.
Absolutely. Me too. And so when I started with this new piano teacher in first grade, what's interesting is that this vision teacher from Perkins actually taught her how to write in Braille using the Braille music code. And then she taught it to me at the same time. So it was kind of a learning experience for both of us.
So not all of our listeners might appreciate how complex Braille music is, and it's not really laid out like print music in terms of being on different lines. A lot of it is written serially in one line. Can you describe a little bit about the complexities of learning Braille music and what it's like to read Braille music?
Well, maybe this is just because I'm so used to reading it, but I don't really think it's necessarily complex once you learn how it's set up and what it looks like and everything. But basically, it's set up pretty much the same way. If you're playing something that's two-handed, like on a piano, it is set up hand over hand so that your right hand is on the top line and then your left hand is on the next line down. But instead of having a staff and having like your bass clef and treble clef and everything, basically the best way for me to describe it is that there is a different combination of dots that symbolizes each different note. And to know what octave you're playing in, they have another sign before the note, which is an octave sign, and it tells you what octave on the piano you're supposed to be in. So instead of looking to see that you have like an F below middle C in the bass clef, there would be a sign that shows you that it's the third octave on the piano, and then you would see an F.
And that's if you want to see one note at a time. What if you want to show a chord in Braille? Just give an idea of how differently it's laid out than print, which is, you know, you'd put the notes on top of each other.
Musicians, if you're listening out there, I'm going to be using a little bit of theory here, so bear with me. Basically, what you would see is if you wanted to do like a C chord in root position, like C, E, G in your left hand, you would have a C, and then there would be two signs after it that show that you have a third above that C and then a fifth above that C. So that's how you see chords in Braille.
So you need to know your intervals pretty well.
Yes. So you do know a little bit about music, I assume, then.
Oh, I actually went to a school for the blind when I was a kid, and they tried to teach me Braille music in second grade, and I just totally gave up on it, and I play by ear these days.
Really?
But the part that he's not mentioning is that when he was a kid and went to the school for the blind, he actually was low vision, not totally blind. I mean, at this point, he can't see the page at all. But when he was a kid, he was able to read the music by just holding it really close, and that was easier.
I could see enough when I was playing the piano that I could look really closely and read a measure at a time, but I basically had to memorize my music back then. Nowadays, I've gotten into jazz a little bit more, that my vision has decreased, so I can't read printed music. And, you know, I have all the music theory behind me, and so it's a little bit easier to make up my own arrangements and learn the melodies by ear.
Do you read English alphabet Braille?
Yes, I do. But, Braille, you know, isn't used so much these days. I read it mostly to keep in practice, and I'll use it mostly for making short notes, labels on things. But mostly I read in audiobooks these days or things on the computer.
Interesting, because I do love audiobooks myself, but I really try to mix it up and do half and half pretty much. Like sometimes Braille and sometimes audiobooks, because I just don't want to lose my Braille reading and writing skills in today's technologically advanced world.
Mm-hmm. So if you're singing with a chorus, you'll generally have a copy of the Braille music?
Mostly when I'm in choruses, I just learn orally.
So how do you learn your music for a chorus? Will you listen to the piece and learn your part just by ear, or will you read the music and sort of learn it on your own and then join in the chorus?
In choruses, I pretty much always just learn by listening to the other singers, and I also try to put the other parts in my head and try to learn all of them so that I can get the whole picture.
So the part I've wondered about, when you're playing music in a small ensemble and there's 3, 4, or 5 people, you can all flex off each other. But in a large chorus, there's a conductor and all of the parts need to do whatever the conductor's telling them to do. Without being able to see the conductor, how do you deal with that?
Just by listening to everything that's going on around me and everything that the other singers or the other players are doing.
So you memorize the lyrics, you learn the music, and then you pay attention to everything in your environment.
Absolutely.
I gather this works pretty well.
I think so, yes.
And nobody else has complained.
No, not at all.
So we know you're a singer. Do you play any instruments?
Yes. My two instruments that I feel the most comfortable with are piano and voice, but I also can strum some ukulele a little bit, like to accompany myself, and I can play elementary level recorder.
So the ukulele is hardly indigenous to Maine. Where did you pick up the ukulele?
Actually, my mom and dad got it for me for my birthday one year. I wanted to learn ukulele because I'm also really interested in world languages and multiculturalism, and I went to Hawaii for the first time back in 2005, I think it was, and I absolutely fell in love with their culture and their language and their music, and so that's how that got started.
I would guess that's a nice portable instrument for backing yourself up when you're singing also, as you say.
Absolutely, and another advantage for me is that the frets aren't that wide apart. I've tried to play guitar before, and I cannot stretch my fingers to reach all those frets.
Coincidentally, our son had a blind saxophone teacher, And for our son, this was no big deal because he's got a blind father. And daddy was always showing him things and teaching him things. And to him, it was no issue having a blind music teacher. But the teacher actually mentioned that some of the students had issues with having a blind music teacher. Have you run into any issues?
No, not really. What were the issues that the students were discussing?
He actually said he had a few students who quit, who just couldn't deal with having this blind guy teaching them music. I mean, I don't really see the problem. You know, I've been living with Pete for 30 years, but some of them did.
I don't either. I have a whole lot of students right now.
So do you face any particular challenges with your vision in terms of interacting with the students, showing them things or having them show you things?
Not very much. I have developed my own ways to get around certain things. Like, I always make Braille sheets that just remind me what I'm showing them so that I can check their work. I can make sure that they understand all my material and everything. So there are ways to get around everything.
Yeah, I know there's often ways for getting around things, and it's interesting to see how people do that sometimes. People become very clever when they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're also starting up a choir that you'll be directing, not participating in. Have you gotten that going yet?
I recently had this other idea of starting an all-female choir for high school students on the seacoast who like to sing, who will specialize in various types of women's a cappella music. And I thought of that because I just recently joined Voices from the Heart, which is a 200-voiced women's chorus in the Portsmouth area. A lot of our music is a cappella, and then some of it we did actually have a full band with us in our last concert to accompany us, and that was just fantastic. And we do a lot of multicultural songs and some spirituals and gospel songs and a lot of other different things. And in addition to that, I also had the privilege of studying under Issei Barnwell, who used to sing in Sweet Honey in the Rock, which is an all-female a cappella ensemble made up of African-American women. And she had the privilege of being our guest director in the 2009 Maine All-State Choir during my senior year of high school. And I just felt so honored to study under her. And she actually taught everything in the oral tradition, because as you probably know, back in the slave days, of course, that was how all the songs were passed down and transmitted.
And they didn't have music sheets to pass around back then.
No, they didn't. And I was thinking that if this girl's choir gets going, I decided that I am not going to require that they know how to read music. I'm just going to be teaching everything orally.
Well, that sounds ideal.
Yes, definitely.
As I mentioned earlier, I went to a school for the blind when I was young, and this conversation reminds me that I had a piano teacher who was totally blind when I was in second grade. The way we worked that out, since, as I also told you, I wasn't so good at learning Braille music, was I would feel his hands on the piano, and once I learned where the notes were, he would tell me where to place my hands. But it was also important to feel his hands to learn how his fingers were poised over the keys and how he attacked the keys. And I guess basically, I didn't think of it at the time, but I was learning by ear and by feel. And that worked pretty well. But later on, since, you know, I did have some vision at the time, as Nancy pointed out, I later just would look very closely at my musical scores and memorize a measure at a time. And that's how I learned most of my music.
So now turning to a totally different topic, we thought one of Alex's hobbies was kind of intriguing, and so we asked her about that.
Well, we were told that you were also a surfer.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how a blind person surfs and what challenges you might run into?
Well, this particular blind person surfs with her dad. My dad goes out into the ocean with me, and he pushes me onto the wave, and then I just ride it the rest of the way in to the beach. I can get up on my knees. And then from there, I've learned to just put one foot in the middle of the board and then just stand up. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
You make it sound so easy. You must have a great sense of balance.
I did have to develop it, yeah. And actually, the first time that I stood up and rode a wave all the way into the beach was actually on my first trip to Hawaii. I took a few surfing lessons there, and I just absolutely loved it. I immediately bonded with my instructor, and it was great fun.
You said that your dad kind of starts you off on the wave. What happens when you come close to shore? Do you have to bail out at a certain time? Or you just don't smash into the sand, do you?
No, I actually just got a new board that actually is much more stable in the water than this board that I originally had. It's kind of like a paddle board. It does come in like really close to the shore, more so than this original surfboard that I had. So my mom will go into the water almost towards the shore so that when I get really close in, then she can just let me know to get back down on my knees so that I don't just fall off and hurt my, you know what, right on the sand, you know?
So this is a team effort.
Yes.
If you want more information about surfing for the visually impaired, Alex highly recommended an organization called AMP Surf, which is a nonprofit organization that, as they say in their website, was established to promote, inspire, educate, and rehabilitate all people with any disabilities and their families through adaptive surfing and other outdoor activities. And their website is AMPSurf, AMPSurf.org. Now for this week's high-tech item, technology you can use to read, write, or learn music without having to actually see the printed music. I understand you recently got a BA and you needed your professors to generate music that you could access. They weren't using Braille. How did that work out?
I had some specialists in the disabilities department. One time it was a student who had just graduated like a year before. And then I also had someone who actually worked in the technology department there in the disability services office. We downloaded the Dancing Dots programs and they would scan all of my assignments or any scores that I needed to have that the technology would be able to read correctly, and they would print them out in Braille for me so that I could read them.
So for our listeners that do not know, I believe Dancing Dots makes a program that, as you said, you can put printed music on a scanner, scan it in, and then print it out in Braille. Is that right?
Yes. And I just downloaded the programs also. I haven't figured out yet how to scan a print piece of music, but that is something that I do want to look into. What I've done is that I can just put music into my computer just using the computer keyboard to make the different notes, and then I can play it back to make sure that I put it in correctly, and then when I'm done with that, I can make print copies, and a lot of times I'll do that for the students who I work with, especially for piano students who are just starting out. I can just put in little melodies and give them to my students to practice reading music.
So you play it on your MIDI keyboard, this Dancing Dots program writes it out in a score that they can read.
Yep.
And I take it that was the way you shared your music with your professors in college, too, when you had to write music for assignments, right?
Mm-hmm. And what I love about that is that I can actually hear the note as it's being entered so that I can tell if it's correct or not, because I have perfect pitch also.
That's a good benefit when you're in your field.
Sometimes.
If someone's playing off pitch, it's not so happy for you, is it?
Yes, absolutely not. I hate it when the choir goes flat.
So for those of you that are interested in learning more about some alternate ways you can share musical scores with others and read through the scores yourself, even if you don't know Braille, we actually set up an appointment to interview the president of Dancing Dots, and we'll be having that show air in about 2 months. And if you'd like to get announcements of upcoming shows so you know when that's going to happen, you can join our Google Groups listener forum by sending an email to eyesonsuccess, followed by the plus sign, followed by the word subscribe at googlegroups.com. So it's eyesonsuccess plus subscribe at googlegroups.com, and you'll get announcements of all our upcoming shows.
So now you're running this business where you teach music lessons and stuff. Do you have a website or any kind of contact information if anybody wants to get in touch with you?
I don't have a website quite yet. I hopefully will soon, depending on if this really takes off and I really start to get a lot of students. But my email address is akrauth1, that's akrauth1, the number one, at gmail.com.
Lots of our listeners are both around the country, the U.S. and Canada, and also around the world. And you said you offer teaching services. Have you ever done any of your teaching over the internet, like Skype, or is it all in person?
The official teaching is through my studio, but I do have a YouTube page where I have shared a few songs that I like. Usually I'll play and sing them either on the piano or on the ukulele. But in addition to that, I also have done some short lessons of how to play piano riffs from popular songs on YouTube. And also I've explained some concepts of music theory and ear training, and I try to explain them in the best way that I can and quiz people a little bit just on YouTube. I upload videos and then I see if people take interest. Like, I get comments on them if people try it out or have questions.
Oh, nice. How can people find those YouTube videos?
It's www.youtube.com/Alika207. Alika is the Hawaiian version of the name Alex. You spell it A-L-I-K-A and then 207 right after that. 207 is the area code of Maine.
Well, we'll have people check that out.
Please do.
And if you missed any of the links that we've given, they will all be in the show notes for this show, which you can find at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. That's it for show number 1331. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about new Victor Reader products from Humanware. We'll speak with Matthew Janisauskas, the technical product manager for Victor Reader products at Humanware, about the newest Victor Reader products, the Portable Stream and the Stratus desktop version. Learn about what's new in each one, the differences between them, and which one might be right for you. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day. Thank you.